Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Ravencast. My name is Adam Erickson, and I am here with Suzanne Ross. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Adam.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. How's the weather in Chicago these days?
The sun just came out, so we're happy. We've had some rain, so. Oh,
that's fantastic. The sun just came out in Portland, too.
Oh.
It's sunny. It's fantastic. I love the sun.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good. So welcome everyone to this episode of the Ravencast. I hope it's sunny and 75 degrees wherever you are on this October day. The Ravencast is brought to you by the Raven Review, an online magazine where we talk about mimetic theory and the violence and rivalry that often infects our world and how we might come to a more peaceful world. And man, Suzanne, I am not feeling all that peaceful these days.
Yeah.
It's been it's just been crazy, crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah, it really has. We've just come through the Kavanaugh confirmation process, which was very, very divisive and very either producing anger or depression or outrage, or it's like a roller coaster of emotions across the board. So, yeah, it's tough.
It is tough, yes. And yeah, so we've been like going back and forth on what we could talk about today.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we could talk about all of this heavy, heavy stuff that's happening, but let's not do that. Let's talk about Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Let's have a diversion. we've been talking about the heavy stuff plenty.
Yes.
And I think, you know, sometimes it's just interesting to come at things through a little lighter perspective. Although I don't know that many people seem to be reacting to Taylor with a lighter spirit. She's been generating a lot of emotional response too.
Yeah, you would think that being able to talk about pop culture and Taylor Swift would just be all kinds of fun and flowers, but no, not so much.
No.
Not so much. So Taylor Swift is in the news. Yesterday or the day before, she was on the AM some awards show that I don't watch, but she encouraged people to vote, especially her audience, young people, I guess. So she encouraged people to vote. And on Instagram, she gave her recommendations for people in Tennessee to vote one way and not in a specific way.
Right.
So Taylor, one of the things that's, I guess, kind of interesting about this is that Taylor Swift has been apolitical for her whole career. And so everybody has been able to basically project their views upon her. And she never denounces anybody who does this. So everyone takes it as an implicit, yeah, Taylor Swift is on our side. So there were even white supremacist groups who were like, oh yeah, Taylor Swift's songs are about us and how we're the underdog and she's speaking right to us and she's really white and she's on our side.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Gosh.
So Taylor Swift was finally like, I don't care if people are gonna hate me for coming out and doing this. I don't care what happens. I'm just gonna do it. Because she felt some responsibility to do it, which is good. It's good to have people take responsibility, I guess, and be vocal, I guess. I don't know. Like, one of the things that's also difficult about this is that depending on what side you are, when stars or athletes come out and say something political, if they're on, like, your side, you're like, oh, isn't that great? But if they're on the other side, you're like, oh, they should just shut up and sing or dribble basketball.
Right.
So, exactly. And we all do this. Like, there's a big music star, Ted Nugent, who's conservative and very vocal about his stuff. And conservatives love it. They love it.
Right.
You know, but, and this isn't a conservative, like, liberal thing. It's a human thing, right? So.
Oh yeah. No, and what's really interesting was that she didn't just endorse candidates. She really gave some reasons why she was against the Republican candidate, and expressed her concerns about some of Trump's policies and so forth. But what was really interesting from a mimetic theory perspective was to try and analyze the kind of response she got, because she gave this specific encouragement to register to vote. Right. And so I read an article that actually the next day tracked the increase in voter registration, especially among the like 18 to 35 age group in Tennessee and even across the country, that they were like, we don't know if it's related to Taylor Swift or not, but we did see a spike kind of in people registering to vote. And so the question that raises really is about the influence that we allow other people to have over us. And then the corollary to that is the unconscious influence that we're not aware of that people have over us. I love the social media language of following, you know, I follow Taylor Swift, or I follow Nugent, and I follow, you know, whoever. Mm-hmm. I don't even have a vocabulary of stars. Thank God you mentioned another celebrity that I could mention. And I forget his first name already. So, but the question is, like, we're very open about following people, yes, right? Although I guess sometimes we don't, we have what do they call them? Secret loves or something, where we won't always admit who we're following, you know? And I like to check out other sites than the ones that I normally follow just to see that other point of view. And I could barely stand being there for very long. And I come back, you know, but who do you follow is really a really important question. That we need to bring into consciousness, because, you know, as a parent, I'm sure you would not tell your child, you know, go out, dear, and be a follower today. Although we do want them to listen to what their teacher tells them, right? But we don't want them to be a follower. We want them to be leaders, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's something very admirable about being a follower in certain circumstances, right?
Yes.
I mean, you cannot be a leader in every aspect of your life. Like, there are limitations. We all have limitations. But we live in a culture, you're exactly right, where we don't want to admit those limitations, and we want to make it so that we are always the one in front. We are always the leader. Yeah. You want to take, like, I would love for my kids to be the leader in everything that they do. And I would get some kind of pride out of my children for being the alpha male. Right. But damn, that's a tough life to live. That is a tough life to live into, because you will always have other people trying to take it from you. And that's what mimetic theory teaches us. Right.
Well, so
the leader is the model. And, that creates a desire for others to become the model, and then you have the rivalry. So,
right. Yes. And it ties in with, you know, being independent and having your thinking that you're just your, you know, I'm the boss of me, as the kids like to say. No one's telling me what to do. I'm making my own decisions. I'm independent. But, you know, so we're talking about two things. One is that you're saying, we all want to be the model of desire. We don't want to admit that our desires are learned or borrowed. So I might go out to vote or register to vote. And for some reason we can, I think, admit that Taylor Swift told me to do it. And so I'm doing it. I don't know. I certainly have people in my life that if so they said to me, Suzanne, you need to go register to vote today. I would do it. Because I respect them and trust them. And they're maybe not my friends or family members, but people I admire. And so I would be open and admit that, you know.
Yep.
But yet somehow when we're depressed or angry about a political situation, let's say, we don't get in touch with how this dynamic is happening with those we're against, that we're often in a model subject relationship with those we're opposing, right? Because it doesn't look like imitation. It looks like the opposite of imitation, right?
Oh, yes. Right?
It looks like I'm rejecting your perspective. But what's, it's just odd to think about what's actually going on is that we're imitating one another's desire to be the one who's being imitated, right? It's simply when you say, well, you get in an argument with someone on the other side of the political fence and you're butting heads like this, and it looks like you're completely different from one another. But at the level of the desires to dominate and to be right and to be the one that the other submits to and follows, you're the same.
Yep.
And that's why you can never talk about the actual issues that you claim to be talking about, right?
Yeah, because it's all about who's right and who's wrong and the shared desire to be right. There's this really great Canadian broadcast series with Girard on ideas. And I forget who it was, might have been Paul DeMichel, was interviewed for it. And he was like, this imitation, this rivalry, even when you're trying to differentiate yourself from someone else, it's an imitative differentiation from them. So the example that he gives is when a politician gets up and gives a speech, or when there's debates, one will wear a red tie and the other will wear a blue tie to differentiate themselves from one another. But it's just this imitation of differentiation to try to claim difference. But
right.
Yeah. We've got some people in watching, and Judy Smith says, this is an important point, Judy. Thank you for bringing it up, and brings us back to Taylor Swift. You should not vote one way just because you like that celebrity. You should vote the way you want to vote. And this is an incredibly important point. Thank you for making it. And it's also the point that Taylor Swift was making too. She said, you need to get informed, and once you are informed, then vote the way that you want to vote. So that's one of the things that I really appreciated about what she said, in addition to giving her own point of view. But she was like, if you disagree with me, vote, get informed, and vote the way that you want to vote after being informed.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, we have to acknowledge, though, that being informed means learning what other people think and getting other opinions, and then deciding which one you're aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is bring into consciousness the fact that you're never going to be completely free of influence. That's silly and ridiculous. It's never going to happen. Humans are, we depend on one another to feel connected and to have a sense of community and so forth. So we want to bring into consciousness the fact that we're always under influence. But the question is, whose influence, right? And so you need to choose wisely whose advice you're following and on who to vote for. I certainly don't consider myself an expert in politics or foreign policy or economic policy or anything like that. So I seek out what I consider to be expert opinion in those areas, and people that align with my values about these things. And then, you do the best you can. You make the best decision you can.
Yep. One of the things that Taylor Swift is getting criticized for is by giving her views on certain people. Have you done much research into Marsha Blackburn? She was one of the people that Taylor Swift said, I don't want to vote for this person because of these reasons. And I've seen, this is one of the things where I feel like I'm in La La Land. Like, I don't know who to believe. I was reading on CNN, this article that was titled something like, Taylor Swift did a good thing, but she needs to get better informed about her politics if she's going to speak on politics, which is kind of this way of shaming her. But it went on to say that she was against Marsha Blackburn because Marsha Blackburn voted against some domestic violence issue that was going to protect women. Mm-hmm. But the article was saying that she voted against it, but then the Republicans brought a new one up that she voted for. So she didn't ultimately vote against being domestic violence against women.
Yeah, yeah.
So she said that Taylor Swift was misinformed. But what she didn't say, and she linked to a PolitiFact article that she said supported her view that Taylor Swift needs to be better informed. But what she didn't say is that Taylor Swift said that original bill, Marsha Blackburn voted against it because it also had protection for LGBTQ community.
Mm.
And she didn't want that. So the Republican bill got rid of the protections for LGBTQ community, and then she voted for it. So Taylor Swift, in her whole like Instagram post, was like, we need to protect LGBTQ community. We need to protect women. So this is why I'm not voting for Marsha Blackburn, because she made it so it was just women and not the LGBTQ community. But the CNN article didn't mention that. You would never know that. The PolitiFact article did mention it.
Right.
And so it's just like I'm living in this world where I want to be informed, but it's so hard to be informed because there's just all kinds of different information, and it's like a rabbit hole of what actually Taylor Swift actually said. You can get caught up in the vortex of Taylor Swift, and I just don't have time for that.
Well, and it's not just her. It's all the issues are so infected with this, what we call mimetic rivalry, which is when you and your model are in this mirroring kind of battle. You're mirroring one another's passion to be the one who's the one that's being imitated, the leader who's the one that you're going to follow. And so you're striving to dominate the other person so much that the truth gets lost. And that's what we're in right now in our political discussions, whether it's about the Supreme Court or immigration or the UN or whatever it is. We're all in this mimetic rivalry, so much so that the truth is the casualty. Right. And it's very hard to find the truth. And so one of the things, one strategy, of course, could be, one that I use, I don't know how good it is, but what I try and do is scan headlines and read some articles from mainstream papers to see, well, what's the issue everyone's in rivalry about today? What's the hot topic? It's interesting, but very aware that what I'm reading is coming from within a rivalrous situation. And you know, you got to give credit to newspapers that still have active reporters, staff. In fact, we have an interview we're going to be publishing soon with Jack Miles about the state of newspapers and how what's really suffering is just simple investigative reporting. There's very few papers that have staffs left that do that. But so you got to give them credit that they're trying, but always being aware that they're embedded in they're reporting on a system that's infected with mimetic rivalry. And so just, you know, use your head. Taylor Swift, Judy's absolutely right. You don't go voting because a celebrity told you what to do. They're not an expert in anything. It's very interesting to know what her opinion is. It's interesting. I don't know her. I don't know what her values are. She has a cultivated persona, apparently, and that's great. But it's not a reason to base your decision on. So anyway, that's what I just think the best strategy to always be aware of what happens within when a rivalry infects a situation and how hard it is to find the truth. And that's okay. Just, you know, don't get discouraged. the truth is out there, as they like to say on the X-Files.
Yes. And as we wrap things up, I've got one more strategy for you. You ready? See if you get this reference.
Okay.
Make like Taylor Swift and shake it off. Because they're going to come after you in this like post-truth world. Part of the problem with it is that people are going to criticize you because it's hard to know the truth. And what do you do when they come after you? So they come after Taylor Swift. And she says one of the reasons that she came out is because she no longer wants to live in fear of the criticism.
Oh, interesting.
And so she was like making like her song, just shake it off.
Yeah. Well, and just being fearless in stating your opinion, which is the other thing that gets really hard to do in these situations, is because everyone is so defensive. And, you know, if you're, for example, if you're in a group of people and they're all talking on one side of the political spectrum, I, for one, do not raise my voice because you become a target. Even your friends want you to be on their side, because any minority voice challenges the majority position, and it can't be tolerated when the position is based on just everybody agreeing. You know, it's not based on the truth. It's just based on everyone agreeing that we think the same thing.
Yep. It's groupthink, and the truth is, the whole truth is not always in groupthink. So, or any truth. Yeah, right. Okay, awesome. Well, hey, thank you, everybody, for watching this episode of The Ravencast. And Judy Smith, thank you for your comments. Yeah. And we will have another Ravencast next Thursday on some topic that is hopefully fun, just like Taylor Swift, right? Yeah. We'll see. Next Thursday, join us then.
I did want to add, Adam, that we are going to be publishing an interview with Brian McLaren on voting Christian values, which is for Raven subscribers. If you're a subscriber to the Raven Review, you'll be able to access that. We recorded that with Brian a few years ago, and he gives some excellent advice how to stay calm and keep your head in the midst of these kinds of rivalrous situations.
We recorded that with Brian during the buildup to the 2016 election, which you might remember had some controversies in it, a little rivalry.
And it's, you know, we're heading into the midterms, and it's not any prettier than it was back then. So
that's for sure. Kevin says, great conversation. Thank you. Thank you for being here, Kevin. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.